gosh, today is a beautiful day, and so are you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Viral Report Podcast. Let's get this show on the road. Man, that is Jay Howell. Y'all need to go check the brother out. The brother can blow, okay? He's just recently on the scene, I think as of 2019. And yeah, he's bringing real R&B back. He's independent. He's trying to get on the mainstream level. So y'all go and support the brother on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, wherever you listen to your music, okay? Stream him on YouTube as well. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Viral Report. I'm Lamar. Now, it's been over a week, okay, since Joe Biden gave his unofficial State of the Union speech to Congress. Joseph Biden, he just recently hit his first 100 days in office. During his first 100 days in office, President Biden has achieved his goal of getting at least 100 million people vaccinated. And during that time frame, Congress also passed the anti-Asian hate bill to protect Asian Americans from being punched and stomped in the streets. Biden has also called for efforts to protect the LGBT rights, and he's raising the illegal immigration cap to 62,500. Now, in the last week and this past month, okay, which would be April into May, the Democrats have really been showing their true colors, and that has some black people giving the party the side eye. Now, I did an entire breakdown of what I thought the Biden administration would focus on during their first 100 days in office, and people slept on it, you know, and the YouTube algorithm did not promote it one bit, okay? But now more and more people are starting to see the real picture, and that is politics as usual being played out here. They ask for the black vote. They say, hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. They pander to the black community by having hot sauce in their bags. They get all these black votes and huge turnouts. They tell you, don't boo, go out and vote. Isn't that what Obama said? Everybody wants to hop on the avenue of change, and they're gonna be different. And then you see, it's just politics as usual here. Black folks turned out to emotionally vote in record numbers to get Trump out of office. Whole bunch of grassroots efforts and work went into getting Trump out of office and getting black Americans registered to vote. But during Biden's 100 days, have you received anything other than the stimulus check, which went out to everybody, but nothing exclusively? And you all can say what you want. The thing I liked about Trump is I know what I was getting from day to day and from the get-go. I knew what I was getting. I don't know why people were so upset and shocked about Trump supporting racism. Hell, his history tells you with his behavior towards the young boys of the Central Park Five and him avoiding renting out Trump Tower apartments to African Americans. That should have told you all you needed to know. But you know, people don't research. They just look at sound clips and sound bites and talking points on social media and in these political arenas on TV. And that's it. That is where their research stops. I know for me, when I was in the voting booth, I was there for a moment because I had to really think about not only my best interest and the best interest of my people, black Americans, and the country at large as well. I'm in the booth and I'm just trying to decide, you know, I have before me two evils, and Joe Biden is the lesser of those two evils. Do I want to vote for what I know I'm going to get, or do I want to vote for uncertainty, meaning racism behind the scenes? But then I ended up voting for Biden Harris. And see, the white supremacy system of America is so strong, you have politicians on both sides screaming, America is not a racist country. We saw this firsthand recently with Kamala Harris and Tim Scott, who went before the public to lie to the American people in order to appease white America.
You know this stuff is wrong. Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination. And it's wrong to try to use our painful past to dishonestly shut down debates in the present. I'm an African American who has voted in the South my entire life. I take voting rights personally. Republicans support making it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And so do the voters. Big majorities of Americans support early voting, and big majorities support voter ID, including African Americans and Hispanics. Common sense makes common ground. But today, this conversation has collapsed. Race is not a political weapon to settle every issue. the way one side wants. It's far too important. This should be a joyful springtime for our nation. The coronavirus is on the run. Thanks to Operation Warp Speed and the Trump administration, our country is flooded with safe and effective vaccines. Thanks to our bipartisan work last year, job openings are rebounding. So why do we feel so divided? Anxious. A nation with so much cause for hope should not feel so heavy laden. A president who promised to bring us together should not be pushing agendas that tear us apart. The American family deserves better.
Senator Tim Scott said last night that America is not a racist country. Do you agree with that? And what do you make of his warning against fighting discrimination with more discrimination?
I believe that we need to first of all, I don't think America is a racist country, but we also do have to speak truth about the history of racism in our country and its existence today. And I applaud the president for always having the ability and the courage, frankly, to speak the truth about it. He spoke what we know from the intelligence community. One of the greatest threats to our national security is domestic terrorism manifested by white supremacists. And the idea is that we want to unify the country, but not without speaking truth and requiring accountability as appropriate.
All right, so y'all just heard that bullshit from Tim Scott and Kamala Harris. Tim Scott is a prime example of when you don't fully instill self-love into your sons. This is a 55-year-old man who's actually in love and mentally dating his mother. He campaigned as a virgin in his 30s, supposedly got close to a woman in his 40s, and then in 2013, when he entered the Senate race for South Carolina, he broke off the relationship with a woman because he said marriage and Congress wouldn't mix. And then he recently said he's always wanted to settle down and have kids. Well, Tim Scott, in your 40s, you had the opportunity to do that. He've always wanted to settle down and have at least 6 kids, is what he said. No, what it is, he didn't want to marry a woman coming into Congress and not having much to offer, meaning in net worth, during that time. He knew that he was going to be on some BS when he got into to office, and he knew that potentially he can come in saying all this coonery stuff and end up making millions. He'd be the male version of Candace Owens. At that point, white supremacy, the whole system would take care of him because he's bucking and jiving in front of his masters, saying anything to appease white America. When it comes from a black person, someone saying, you know, there's no racism in America, it eases the mind frames of racists and other white Americans and other groups of people selling you garbage because you most likely can't think outside the box to read common sense. And common sense will tell you that, you know, what they're feeding you is bullcrap. This is coming from a man with a reported net worth of negative $600,000, which means the people in South Carolina did not do their research on Tim Scott before they voted for him. All they wanted to do was put somebody in office that was black, you know, make this make sense. Negative $600,000, which means he owes more than he owns. And he's a senator of a state. If a corporation was hiring him for an executive role, he most likely wouldn't get it. See, the only reason I believe that Tim Scott and Kamala came out with this BS about America is not a racist country is for white people and other groups to low-key erase or even ease the images of police brutality out of the minds of the American citizens. All that stuff that they saw throughout the pandemic of cops kneeling on African Americans' necks and Latinos' necks, shooting black and brown people. See, Latinos at one point thought they were exempt from all this. They get shot and killed by the cops as well. Their stories just don't make mainstream news because you can't have too much of this stuff in the mainstream media. It's great for one narrative because they already have the beliefs implanted inside their heads that, you know, whatever the black man or black person have done, they deserve whatever they got. Jail, death, abuse. How can police shootings and other injustices against black and brown people be racist? America isn't a racist country. It just has some racist bad apples in it. You can't make this up. Just straight up games. And I guess to Tim and Kamala Harris, white supremacy doesn't exist either. Because last time I checked, a domestic terrorist who was the president for 4 years, Donald Trump, he set off all kind of violence with his words and literally said that he can walk down the street and murder an innocent American and he wouldn't lose any votes. People would still vote for him.
The people, my people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible. No, they say, Trump, we love you too, man. Trump's voters are by far, you know, I'm at 68, 69%. I'm at 90% total.
Very loyal support. I do. In fact, I think you were joking, but you said it's getting a lot of buzz. You said you could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody. That wouldn't affect the support you're getting from your supporters.
Well, you don't think I was joking. You know I was joking. Of course I was joking. And the whole room was laughing, and I was laughing when I said it.
Because you got some criticism.
Well, no, from dishonest press. They said, he said something. When they show me, I'm laughing, they're laughing, everybody's laughing, everybody's having a good time. Of course I'm joking. I mean, you know that. But and the purpose of that is to say that people love me. You know, they want to stay with me. They're loyal. They're tired of seeing our country being pushed around and led by people that are stupid people.
If that ain't white privilege in a white supremacy system, I don't know what is. All right, so let me hurry up because, you know, I'm running out of time here. I don't want this podcast to be too long. Now, Sleepy Joe, he wants to raise the illegal immigration cap to 62,500. Now, President Stimmy recently said, "Today I am revising the United States annual refugee emissions cap to 62,500 for this fiscal year 2021. This erases the historically low number set by the previous administration of 15,000. See, this is all about votes, y'all, and an even bigger Democratic voting base. Now, because the Democrats have been trying to lessen the black vote for years, you know, they need and they want a better looking, much larger base that represents them well, who aren't African American, who are not black. I'm just going to keep it real. They're also looking for a new demographic to assimilate into whiteness. And I know this sounds crazy, but like I said, I've talked about this literally on this show before. We've talked about this on the Viral Report. I've showed proof of national news reporter Tom Brokaw talking about assimilating Latinos into whiteness, having their kids, and you know, and then he got into trouble when he started spilling that information. The white elites, they were not happy about him spilling their business like that, because this is supposed to be kitchen table talk or back room conversations. And it's no secret, the white birth rate is on a huge, huge decline. And if you can get people into the country that you can teach your ways and disguise it as a refugee plan, you won't draw any suspicions. You know, I don't put anything past the government.
Begin with an alarming story about rising death rates among white adults in America. WSJ's special writer Betsy McKay joins us now to discuss. Thanks for being here, Betsy.
Thanks for having me.
As you point out in your piece, this trend is shocking for an economically advanced country like the United States. What is driving the uptick in deaths?
Well, this is a really interesting study, and it follows on some work done about a year and a half ago by the same two economists at Princeton, which found that mortality was rising among middle-aged Americans. So then they set out to figure out a couple of things. One, how widespread was that problem, and secondly, you know, what might be driving it. So what they found in their new paper is that mortality is rising not just for middle-aged Americans, but for Americans between 25 and 64 years of age. And what's driving that really is our rises in mortality in people who have a high school education or less. So working class Americans. For people with a college degree, mortality is still declining. So to have, you know, mortality rise in a developed nation is very, very unusual. And we've, you know, our mortality rates have been declining for decades.
Right.
They posit a hypothesis, which is really interesting. They examined a ton of data, economic data, health data, from, you know, national sources. And what they believe is going on is that the types of jobs available to working class Americans have changed since the 70s. They're less stable, more minimum wage jobs, less opportunity for advancement. And at the same time, there are a lot of social trends, decline in marriage, more cohabitation, more you know, children born out of wedlock, more social isolation, families aren't stable.
Right, and so you touched on education and also the workforce. These deaths of despair, especially with the opioid crisis we've seen in America, they believe are leading more white adults to die younger. Is that correct?
That's correct, and they do point out that these trends were you know, underway before the opioid epidemic took off. I mean, opioids were really introduced in the 90s, and the epidemic has kind of taken off in the 2000s, whereas changes were starting to occur, you know, before the mid-90s. But the opioid epidemic has definitely accelerated it. And then on top of that, you know, you have alcohol-related liver diseases, and you have suicide. Suicide and opioids are often tied. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes whether a drug overdose was intentional or accidental.
Right. Well, it's also interesting because these studies always look at race. And here the researchers found that Blacks and Hispanics face many of the same income struggles as the white working class, yet they've experienced a decline in mortality rates. So how do you make sense of that?
Yeah, well, so that's the puzzle for everyone. You know, what they say is that for whites, for working class whites, times were better earlier. So in other words, there was an expectation, more of an expectation of life improving. Whereas for Blacks and Hispanics, you know, they've been moving up, certainly, you know, some parts of those populations, and there wasn't the expect, you know, they believe there just wasn't the expectation that with every generation you're going to live better than your parents. They also, you know, think what needs to be explored is they posit the idea that anti-poverty programs have been of more benefit to Blacks, whereas whites might not have been able to benefit from them. Their, you know, salaries might have been high enough so that they don't qualify.
All right, so y'all just seen that white lady blaming the white birth decline on everything except the true origin, okay? Multi-decade declining racism. That's what it is. That's my word for it. Okay, that is what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. And I want you all to think about it. Think about it. White people were alive, healthy, and well prior to the civil rights era. Integration happened, and now they're dying or having health problems because they at large have lost their grip on racism. Racism kept them alive. Alive and well, they was thriving, having kids out the wazoo. First day, the father thinking he's calling his name. Ray, he said, Ray, racism, racism. Anyway, but yeah, they've lost their grip on racism. You know, white people are having kids with everyone under the sun nowadays, other than white Americans. It's not even cool to have white kids in white people's eyes nowadays. That's why they'd rather adopt a foreign baby from abroad. The Trump administration illegal immigration cap was 15,000 annually throughout his 4 years. 15,000 annually. That's a number I can get behind. And Biden wants 62,500 annually. That's a lot of damn people. And why? That's the real question. Why? The real agenda is to replace the Black Democratic vote and to find a new racial group to assimilate with and to carry on some part of the white genealogy. That is what we're dealing with, folks. So yeah, when you see that they want to raise these immigration caps, you should be asking yourself why. When they want to give you free weed, a free beer, and free baseball tickets so you can get a vaccine shot, you want to ask why. Why is that? Sounds cool to get you high on after you got a shot in your arm, but why does it take that? What is the reasoning? You got to ask questions, folks. You know, and pay attention. Don't let these damn politicians play with your mind, because that's what they're doing. They're mind fucking everybody, and people are falling for it. People getting tired, people getting depressed, and now you have people but walking around unhinged. We don't know what's in these vaccines. We don't know what's in our food. We don't know what's in these drinks, meaning sodas and all this stuff. That, people have to ask themselves questions. Well, that's all for this episode of the Viral Report Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I love you for listening. I really appreciate the pleasure of your time. I want you to have a great day. I love you for listening. I'll see you in the next one. Peace. This podcast may have ended, but the fun continues right here with other podcast selections. Or you can take it up a notch and head over to our YouTube channel to watch our well-crafted, entertaining videos. I love you for listening to this podcast. I'll catch you in the next one.